Good evening, everyone, and welcome
to another issue
of The Summoner. I am your host and writer, Walter Pierce. My website is galleryofthemind.com. Please check it out if you have the time. Also, if you want to contact me, my email address is webmaster@galleryofthemind.com. Again, that's webmaster@galleryofthemind.com. All right, on with the show.
This is the story of a group called the Warriors. They are blessed by the ancestors. The ancestors' light shines through them as a power of light. The light, the shine, can be varied a bit, which slightly changes the power. The Warriors use their power to protect their people on the planet Artonia in the Yellow Realm. Their tales are spellbinding adventures just beyond the reach of even imagination. Among these warriors is one even more unique. He is unique because he is half human. He is called the Summoner, and these are his tales.
Issue 21, The Citadel. This is Kelly's memory, and this is the planet Reba for Kelly. It is a wasteland. It was destroyed by the Dark Ones. Nothing was left on the planet, not even despair. That's when Dr. Vlad reclaimed it. He chased away the Dark Ones. He brought mighty ships that served as buildings for the remnant of the known Reba that would claim this planet. He was a hero. He swore to his people that Reba would never fall again to the Dark Ones. There would be no next time. Kelly sits at a window in the mighty ship named the Citadel. She watches Dr. Vlad pace the sidewalk outside. He looks up and sees her staring. He invites her to his lab without saying a word. He tries to smile too, but it is so fake. They both know that darkness is coming. Later, Kelly enters the lab to see Dr. Vlad working feverishly. He does not stop, but he acknowledges Kelly with a question.
Do you have a soul?
Of course I do.
Yes. You may.
What are you talking about? We all have souls.
No, Kelly. I do not. Death is the end for me.
Kelly just looks puzzled.
You are in an odd mood today.
The Dark Ones are coming back to retake Reba.
Then we will fight.
Then we will die.
We did it before.
Things have changed. So many things have changed.
Doctor, what are you doing?
I am building a robot.
Really?
Are you surprised? I used to be a scientist before I took on this mantle of leadership.
Kelly is silent.
I never finished this robot. I was going to use it to house my soul. I was going to use it to cheat death.
But the war stopped you?
No. I don't have a soul for it to house.
What is all this talk of death and souls?
Again, the doctor does not answer. He walks over to a window and looks out of it.
Do you see it, Kelly?
Kelly walks over to the window.
See what?
Do you see the light?
Yes.
This ship, the Citadel, controls those artificial lights. It controls the remaining satellites. It shines the last hope.
You did that. You gave us back our home.
It will soon be gone.
I know that other ships are having troubles. The Citadel has sent its great fleets to shore up those ships. Once they defeat the enemy, they will return again to protect us.
They have been defeated. The great ships have fallen. The Citadel is the last ship. Our foothold on Reba has attracted back the Dark Ones.
But our ships have the shields you created. The shields are not drained of energy by the darkness. We took back this planet using those shields.
Dr. Vlad moves from the window over to a console. He then inputs an access code.
Come over here, Kelly.
Kelly obeys. Kelly looks at the console and sees an area in the far east region of the huge and mighty shield that protects the Citadel. The light there is dimmed. There are horsemen gathering outside the barrier. Some are on the ground at the shield, while others are flying around the shield.
They arrived yesterday.
But the shields?
I do not understand it, but they have gotten through the shields of the other cities. And so it stands to reason that they will get through this one too.
Kelly looks back at the console. She watches the growing number of the dark, and dread goes through her as she asks,
"What can we do? We have to leave. We can launch the Citadel."
"We cannot. The numbers above us have grown. A fleet of Dark Ones has amassed in space. They were detected too late. The Citadel will not escape, even if we can get her to launch again."
"There are still some remaining smaller ships. Maybe we can take those and slip past the Dark Ones."
"Most of the remaining ships left this morning. They will try to slip away and bring back help. But even if they make it through, I do not know if they will make it back in time."
Kelly turns back to the console. On the console is Belmast. The real Belmast has been watching the memory Kelly is having. He is here to drain Kelly for the final time. But he does not. He is bothered by the strangeness of this time. He can't quite remember what happened here.
"Why is this time so fuzzy for me?"
He thinks back hard.
"I was there. We were going to break through the field. But something happened once we did. We were attacked."
Belmast's attention is brought back to the real world. It is a world where he is in the frail body of a known Reban woman from another reality. He is being chased by the guards of the known Reba. He has made it to the door leading outside. Once he gets out of it, he feels that his brothers will aid him. He doesn't know where they are. He just knows that they are near. He tries to open the door as he hears the approaching guards. The door does not open. A computer challenges him with a question. The question is in a military dialect, which asks a question that few, if any, off-worlders would know. It is usually an effective defense, but Belmast has access to Kelly's memories. It is child's play for him to open the door. Once on the other side, he finds himself thinking back again. He remembers standing there outside the shield of the Citadel. He remembers hearing a whooshing sound through the wind of darkness. He remembers turning around and seeing a warrior. The warrior is shining and carrying a weapon. He is a blaze of action that catches the Dark Ones by surprise. The disembodied dark ones could not approach him. The very wind seemed to hold them at bay. He used the weapon to slash through the embodied dark ones that would get too close. Belmas recalls making it up to the man and also getting slashed by that weapon. The weapon had a cold feeling to it. The contact was so brief, though. The next thing he knew, he was hurtling back to the dark rift. Belmast is brought out of his memories, and Kelly's memories, by reality. The known Reban guards are firing at him from ships overhead. There are many places to run, with the first great city being nothing more than rubble. That is exactly what he does. He runs and hides among the rubble. The thought of the man keeps going through his mind. He keeps trying to remember. He can almost see the man's face.
Why does this haunt me so?
Boom! One of the fighters just drops out of the air onto the ground. Belmas then sees that there is a great darkness that is covering the sky. The ships try to fight, but their weapons just go through the darkness. And when they get too close, boom! Another ship drops from the sky. Belmas now realizes why he was drawn in this direction. It is the Dark One, Padian, that has called him. With all the action happening around him, Belmas still is occupied with his thoughts of the man. It is because he is sure that he has seen this man again. In fact, it was recently. He remembers landing in the first city. He remembers looking at all of the guards. He remembers looking at their accusing faces as they realized he was not among those who attacked Dracia. He remembers them yelling for him to explain with their faces close to his.
No. No. No.
Then he remembers being taken by the guards. The guards were rough. He remembers them, but their faces are not the ones. Then there is this yell. He looks over and sees Michael, just like everyone else does. He, of course, knows Michael. He remembers turning and running. But wait.
The one beside Michael was the one who was there. But how can this be? But it is true. It was the summoner.
Next time, shield failure. Hello, everyone, and thank you for listening to my podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Would you like to see what is happening too? Well, I've gotten several great artists to draw the issues. And that's not all. I've also combined the text, pictures, and sound to create almost anime. Please go to the link in the description to get both for only $3. Please come back next month because Shield Failure is going to be quite an adventure. Good night.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another issue of The Summoner. I am your host and writer, Walter Pierce. My website is galleryofthemind.com. Please check it out if you have the time. Also, if you want to contact me, my email address is webmaster
at galleryofthemind.com. Again, that's webmaster at galleryofthemind.com. All right, on with the show. This is the story of a group called the Warriors. They are blessed by the ancestors. The ancestors' light shines through them as a power of light. The light, the shine, can be varied a bit, which slightly changes the power. The warriors use their power to protect their people on the planet Artonia in the Yellow Realm. Their tales are spellbinding adventures, just beyond the reach of even imagination. Among these warriors is one even more unique. He is unique because he is half human. He is called the Summoner, and these are his tales.
Issue 22, Shield Failure. On the planet Reba, the Dark One, Belmast, stands oblivious to a horrendous battle taking place. Many ships are here fighting against the large mist of Padian. Padian is free. The known Reba thought that they had contained him behind shields. They were wrong. Padian is free, and the shields have failed. The Dark Ones can disrupt fields of energy with the darkness they exude. And that is why the attacking ships are falling from the sky when they get too close. A ship has simply fallen out of the sky next to Kelly. The two soldiers in the ship evacuate and begin hopelessly firing at Padian. They see Kelly, but to them, she is only a known Reban woman. They notice that she is not scarred by the radiation of the past. Some of their people, the lucky ones, are born normal-looking, though. One thing that they do not notice, that they should, is the darkness that is being exuded from Kelly's body. The darkness is that of Belmast. Soldiers are now coming from seemingly everywhere, and more ships are filling the air. Finally, the noise catches Belmast's attention. Belmast walks over to the ship and simply starts it up. Belmast has no idea how to fly this ship, but Kelly does. He draws on her memories as she hides in them. In Kelly's memories, Kelly is in a citadel that is surrounded by the Dark Ones. Kelly is running through that citadel to meet Dr. Vlad.
I think it's over. The shields are failing. We have to go.
So you've come back to save me? You were always such a loyal girl, Kelly.
There are a couple ships that have come back to rescue us. But we have to go now.
I'm not going.
If you stay, they will kill you.
They already have. And my death is so meaningless. I created these great ships with shields that will repel the darkness. We reclaimed this world, and now it is just crumbling again. Everything I worked for is gone.
Doctor, I will not let you die.
Kelly, you are the one person that I feel I can trust. Remember that, Chrome 6.
A large robot answers that it will remember. Kelly is startled. She didn't know that the lifeless robot Vlad was working on is now alive.
Don't be frightened, Kelly.
It's creepy. Its eyes are so dead.
This is my last legacy. It is the only thing I will leave. It is a database of some of my greatest thoughts.
Kelly eyes the robot suspiciously. Then her mind turns back to the man she admires and respects.
Its name is Chrome 6. I moved everything from the Chrome 5 device to the robot. I wanted to put my soul in that robot. But since I lack that, I will put Chrome 5 into it. That work is kind of my soul. So in a way, I am immortal.
Vlad, stop talking so strangely. I won't let you kill yourself.
Kelly, you have no choice. Crow 6, take her to safety. Get her to the ships.
Crone 6 moves towards Kelly. She can't help but to scream as she backs up. Crone 6 grabs her with his large metallic hands. The grip is so tight and strong, but Kelly realizes that it is trying its best not to hurt her.
Let me go. Doctor, you have no right to force me this way.
Crone 6, stop.
The robot obeys.
And Kelly, you have no right to force me to do something I do not want.
Then I want to stay with you.
Respect my last wish, Kelly, and go.
Kelly bows her head.
Goodbye, Doctor. You taught me so much.
I am not a medical doctor.
No, Vlad. I mean about being a good person.
Kelly turns her back and walks away.
Chrome 6, go with her. I didn't create you just to have you destroyed here.
Chrome 6 follows Kelly. Kelly is not too sure of her new companion, but together they head for the ships. Kelly can see that there is only one ship left.
They're leaving! I have to hurry!
Kelly and Crone 6 do not make it. The ship takes off without them. But it does not get far before it is attacked by the Dark Ones. Hordes of the Dark Horsemen lay chase to the lone ship. Kelly looks around and sees wreckage here and there from the other two ships. They didn't make it. They too were attacked immediately after leaving the protective shield of the Citadel. Kelly can't help but to feel despair as she looks at the wreckage and the evil eyes staring at her through the force field. She knows it won't be long before they get through.
What am I going to do?
With her heart pounding, she turns and goes back into the Citadel. The lights of the Citadel begin flickering.
The power must be being directed to the shields.
It's a sure sign the shields are failing.
How are we going to get out of here?
There is a doorway machine.
With so many of these monsters, the doorway machines will not be able to get us off-world. It probably won't have much distance at all.
It should be able to reach another of the great Citadel-type ships.
All of the others have been overrun, as this soon will be.
But maybe the Dark Ones have gone since they killed everything.
Oh, I don't really have too many choices. Let's go.
Desperate and terror-filled, Kelly and the robot are on the run again. They come to a rather large deserted room. In this room is the doorway machine. Kelly quickly starts to work the controls. She nervously fumbles them, having to start over several times.
Oh no! No, no, no!
What is the problem?
The range is not only just outside the shields, it needs more power.
I am currently at 100% power. I could power the machine to give us some more distance.
There's another site where ships are going to look for survivors. It was near the Sentry Citadel. I think we can make it there if you augment the power.
My calculations say that you are correct.
Then do it.
Feeding power now.
It's working, but we need to increase more.
Howls can be heard as the lights go completely out.
I think they're through the shields. And now we need even more power. The power from the Citadel is gone. Chrome 6, feed more power.
Down to 60%. Down to 50%. Down to 30%.
Okay, we're getting something. System is powering up.
20%. 10%.
Almost. Doorway opening.
0%.
It's open. Let's go through. Let's... Crow 6? Crow 6?
I am coming. I had to switch over to using reserves. Through the doorway they go. They leave the horror about to befall the Citadel to come to another one. They come out in the Sentry Citadel. It is completely dark.
I can't see anything.
I can see. Hold on to me, and I will lead us out of this ship. Kelly's eyes do not work well here. She thinks she sees movement in the dark many times, but thankfully, it is just her imagination. Finally, they come out of the dark. They cautiously exit the Citadel. The smell of death assaults Kelly. There are dead bodies everywhere. It is like a massacre. But Kelly does see one person, barely breathing. They rush over to him. Kelly surmises the situation.
We can save him. We have to get him back in the ship. Let's get to the medical lab.
Oh, help me. Oh.
We will. I promise.
Are you a rescue?
No. I'm trying to escape myself. I'm just Kelly.
I'm Cam. I am from Earth.
Earth?
Next time, a nightmare.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another issue of The Summoner. I am your host and writer, Walter Pierce. My website is galleryofthemind.com. Please check it out if you have the time. Also, if you want to contact me, my email address is webmaster@galleryofthemind.com. Again, that's webmaster@galleryofthemind.com. All right, on with the show. This is the story of a group called the Warriors. They are blessed by the ancestors. The ancestors' light shines through them as a power of light. The light, the shine, can be varied a bit, which slightly changes the power. The Warriors use their power to protect their people on the planet Artonia in the Yellow Realm. Their tales are spellbinding adventures just beyond the reach of even imagination. Among these warriors is one even more unique. He is unique because he is half human. He is called the Summoner, and these are his tales.
Issue 23, A Nightmare. The Summoner, Michael, and Beast stand before a highly decorated, one-legged military commander, and another rather large man with a greenish tint to his skin. They are in chains with a collar around their necks.
We have done nothing. We are Atonians. We are not your enemies. You have done nothing that I know of except harboring this filth, Michael. What has Michael done to you? He has brought those who attack our planet. Our leader will have him publicly executed.
I do not know. The commander backhands Michael before he can finish speaking. Michael is knocked to the ground. The foot of the larger man stomps him in the face. Michael writhes in pain.
He is a warrior.
There's a faint wheeze, then nothing more.
What's the matter? You can't shine? It is good to know that they work. The collars were put together in case we had to fight one of you warriors. You cannot shine while wearing them. Why are you doing this? Because I want to know what this is. What?
The commander stomps over to a desk, and he returns with a photo. The photo is fuzzy, but it is of a woman being embraced by one of the afflicted. There is terror on her face and a beaming smile on the one holding her.
This is from the 10th Great City. What is going on there? You are useless. Why am I talking to you? Frokus!
The commander nods at the other man named Frokus. Frokus comes over and starts beating the summoner. The commander stomps over to a bloodied Michael. You should be careful. All that stomping can't be too good for your fake foot. The commander's eyes get large, and he lifts Michael and then punches him across the jaw.
And you should be careful, because all that back talk can't be good for your face. Reba has turned into quite the paradise, hasn't it?
Frokus continues beating the summoner. Beast has been silent. He isn't paying attention. He seems to be in a world all his own.
You brought the Dark Ones here. What is this? If you don't answer truthfully, I swear I will slam my fist into your face again.
He puts the photo in front of Michael's face. It's a photograph. The commander slams his fist into Michael's face again.
You told the truth.
The commander drops the photo and heads to Beast. He kicks him in the face with his metal foot. Beast cries out as he goes to the floor. Michael looks at the photo lying on the floor. When he sees it, he cannot help but to cry out, "No!" Everything seems to stop. Everyone turns to Michael, who is staring at the picture. "This is the affliction." The commander walks back over to Michael. The Dark Ones feed off of negative emotions. They have to have them, or they become weak. Michael turns his head out of breath.
Continue.
The Dark One's primary way of attack is to battle a world into submission. But that requires killing people. They will not hesitate to do that, but they need the people for the emotions.
They need the energy. So they will seed some worlds with this affliction. The fear and pain that it causes is like a battery for them that extends the darkness.
How do we fight this affliction?
I do not know.
That doesn't help me.
The commander clenches his fist and raises it. I do not care.
That is the truth.
The commander lowers his fist. You need Kelly. She is a doctor. She was studying this.
Kelly? Who is this Kelly?
In Kelly's memories, Kelly is a known Reba from a different reality. She is from the same reality as Michael. She has come to this reality, but she was taken over by one of the Dark Ones. Now, the last bit of her is trapped inside herself. She is reliving her own memories. Right now, she is remembering about 9 years ago, when she first met a known Reban man from Earth.
Are you a rescue?
No. I'm trying to escape myself. I'm just Kelly.
I'm Cam. I'm from Earth.
Earth?
Yes. It's in the Blue Realm.
Oh, I know of...
Emergency! We must hide.
What is going on?
No time. Hurry. Chrome 6 picks up Cam, and the three of them run into the shadows. Almost immediately after getting to the shadows, they hear the sounds of many horses and howls from the sky. Kelly has never been so frightened in her life. She shivers in fear as a wave of darkness passes by. The darkness does not stop. It continues on to Kelly's relief.
What was that?
Where are they headed?
Judging from their trajectory, I would say they are headed for our citadel. Tears well up in Kelly's eyes.
Dr. Vlad.
Cam passes out.
Let's get Cam to the medical facility here. He is bleeding internally. I am going to have to operate if there is going to be a hope to save this man.
They rush past the dead bodies and the destruction to get to the medical facilities. What they find is not very helpful. Everything is strewn about and either in a broken or nearly unusable state. But Kelly does what she can. She fixes and mends Cam using what is there, with Chrome 6 as a power source. After an hour, the situation is still not much better. Cam is still going in and out of consciousness, and Kelly has not been able to patch him up very well. In exhaustion and frustration, she realizes that this man is going to die, just like all the others here. She is a doctor. She is not supposed to get so emotionally involved, but she is. With all that she has been through, she cannot help but to softly weep. She softly weeps over the body of a near stranger.
Kelly?
Don't speak. You need to rest. I just operated on you.
I have to say thank you before I die.
You're not going to die.
I can hear it in your voice. I am going to...
Cam fades into unconsciousness again.
I'm sorry, Cam. I'm sorry.
The sadness turns to fear as the lights go out.
Chrome 6, are you okay?
The robot does not respond. Kelly knows that he is completely drained. She thinks as hard as she can, but she cannot figure out a way to help him. Then her concern changes from Crone 6 to concern for herself. She hears footsteps in the darkness. They are a bit away, but they are hurried and moving towards the medical facility. Kelly's heart pounds as she knows there is nowhere to run and nothing she can do. This is a nightmare. Back in the real world with the summoner.
All of this doesn't explain why you attacked us. Our leaders are trapped in the 10th city. We have sent men in, but none have returned. Michael, you know this affliction. I am going to send you in with some of my men to secure the leaders.
We will never help you.
Oh, I think you will. You see, I've gotten a little information on this Kelly girl that you are obviously so fond of. It seems that she took a ship and flew it directly into the 10th great city. She was following this Dark One that we were fighting. There seems to have been a minor failure in the shield when the Dark One got close.
Why would she go there?
She knew that we would not follow her there.
Everyone is silent. Next time, the affliction.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another issue of The Summoner. I am your host and writer, Walter Pierce. My website is galleryofthemind.com. Please check it out if you have the time. Also, if you want to contact me, my email address is webmaster@galleryofthemind.com. Again, that's webmaster@galleryofthemind.com. All right, on with the show. This is the story of a group called the Warriors. They are blessed by the ancestors. The ancestors' light shines through them as a power of light. The light, the shine, can be varied a bit, which slightly changes the power. The warriors use their power to protect their people on the planet Artonia in the Yellow Realm. Their tales are spellbinding adventures just beyond the reach of even imagination. Among these warriors is one even more unique. He is unique because he is half human. He is called the Summoner. And these are his tales.
Issue 24, The Affliction. In the Green Realm on the planet Reba, there is a city called the 10th Great City. It is a city built on history. There are museums and statues of great men and women throughout the city. There are government buildings representing the whole known Reba world of politics. It is a seat of power. All of the great generals, except one, are gathered here to meet with the supreme leader of all the cities. Unfortunately, the meeting did not go well. It was interrupted by hordes of diseased-like zombie beings. Now the leaders are trapped. So that is why a plan has been put into motion to get to them. The only general not trapped has put together a group of 7 soldiers and 3 warriors to go into the city. The 3 warriors are the Summoner, Beast, and Michael. Those 10 and a commander stand just outside the barrier to the city. The commander is reiterating what he wants to the Summoner.
Go in and secure Uro and rescue the Kelly woman. Then you will win your freedom. We have already agreed to your terms. Remove the collars from around our necks. I'm afraid I can't do that. I do not trust you. And I especially do not trust you with your power. If you free us, we have a better chance of bringing back Uro.
The commander just laughs and opens a small opening in the barrier.
We will be waiting, so be sure to take note of where you are. The soldiers are equipped with electronic maps.
The group walks through the small opening and comes out on a deserted street. It is daytime, but the city is dark, as if it was night. The summoner notes the environment to Michael, the only warrior who has seen this situation before.
There seems to be darkness blowing on the wind.
That is how they are. The Dark Ones exude darkness when they feel pleasure.
Pleasure? When do they feel pleasure?
When you feel pain.
What's the plan here? Are we just going to follow these soldiers?
Yes, that is exactly what you are going to do.
Again, what's the plan?
Again, you follow us.
Beast just stares at the soldier. The soldier ignores the glare and just continues walking.
They said that the leaders were holding some type of meeting. We must be headed towards their meeting building.
Bravo! What's wrong with this thing? My mapping unit is going out. It seems to be losing power.
The dark wind can disrupt electronic devices.
That would have been something nice to tell us about.
And our destination would have been something nice to tell us about.
What's that? I hear something. The soldier's voice and face show fear. Everyone stops and listens. It's the afflicted. Don't let them touch you, or you will become like their tortured souls. A group of the afflicted move quickly towards the soldiers. The soldiers calmly take their positions and begin to fire. The shots put holes in the afflicted, but the afflicted keep coming. You have to destroy the entire body.
Fall back towards those buildings!
The group starts moving towards the buildings. The more afflicted start coming out from those buildings. 2 of the soldiers are now in hand-to-hand combat with the afflicted. The afflicted win by grabbing the soldiers. The needle-like protrusions easily penetrate the military clothing.
This is getting real bad real fast.
Hey, go on the stealth mode and get to those buildings.
The soldiers disappear as they are electronically masked. They move unseen right past the afflicted.
Hey, we didn't get military gear.
The very first sign of trouble, and they abandoned us.
The Summoner, Beast, and Michael try to make their way to a nearby statue. Don't worry about them. They'll get what's coming to them. Their masking won't work for long. The group is picking up pieces of debris and fighting as best they can, but they are being surrounded.
We need to get the weapons of the 2 fallen soldiers.
We shall have them.
5 wolves of pure light appear. two run to the gathering crowd of the afflicted. The remaining three fight for the warriors. The afflicted grasp the wolves, but they cannot infect them with their disease. The warriors look stunned at Beast.
I feel a bit weak, but I feel my shine has returned. The electronic systems in the towers are failing.
The darkness on the wind seems to be interfering with the colors around our necks.
We have to do something fast, because the weakness in us will grow till our light is suffocated.
Look over there. There are the soldiers.
They are not invisible, and in the middle of these monsters.
I told you not to worry about them. The black wind is interfering with their electronic masking. They just put themselves in a terrible position. The two wolves return with guns in their mouths. They give one to the summoner and one to Michael.
Those buildings over there are close. Michael, if you can mesmerize some of these creatures, we may be able to get to them.
My light does not work on these creatures. They are not fully using their brains. The virus itself is sentient.
Ride my wolves. They are faster than us, and we can try to fight our way to the buildings.
Make sure that you set your weapon to incinerate. The three warriors get on the wolves. Two wolves hold off the afflicted from the left and the right, while the summoner and Michael use their guns to open a path in front of themselves. The wolves move so fast through the darkness. The wind beats against their faces. Fear of the afflicted is lost, and fear of falling off the wolves replaces it. Everything with the plan seems to be going well. They have broken through the majority of the afflicted and have a clear shot at the building. But then the unexpected happens. A large group of the afflicted start coming out of the building. There is no way we can fight through those and get to the building before the ones behind us catch up.
I do not know how much longer I can keep up this shine. I'm becoming exhausted, guys.
Michael, did you say that this virus is sentient?
Yes.
But it is obviously not too smart.
What are you getting at?
I have an idea. You two keep heading for the building.
What are you going to do?
The summoner turns his wolf to the left and rides off into the night in that direction. Then he begins to shine. All the afflicted turn and start heading for him. I don't believe it. He is summoning the afflicted.
He'll be killed or turned into one of those creatures.
The creatures have cleared the way to the building. Get off our wolves and make a run for the building. We'll send our wolves to help the summoner. Beast and Michael dismount their wolves and let them run to go and help the summoner. But the crowd of the afflicted is too great. The four cannot get through. In fact, the four wolves are tackled by many of the monsters until their light goes out.
My wolves! My wolves did not make it.
We can't do anything right now. We have to get to the building and secure a position. If we can get to the top of the building and the summoner survives, we can shoot at the afflicted that are there. So, now there is only one wolf left, and it is being ridden by the summoner. There are many afflicted approaching from the rear, left, right, and from the front. There is nowhere to go. The summoner feels his sister sitting on the wolf with him.
What are you going to do?
I do not know.
There's another building straight ahead and to the left.
We will never make it to that building.
You had better think of something. And you need to stop shining. There is no need to draw more of these creatures to you.
The summoner stops shining and turns the wolf to the left. The most space is in that direction, near a flagpole monument. This is pretty much as far as he can go, so he jumps off the wolf and starts continuously firing his weapon. But there are too many of the monsters. He cannot shoot his way through the coming crowd to make it to the building. The wolf is defending the summoner. It runs a few yards to the right, where the closest group of the moaning monsters are. It fights, but soon it is smothered by the horde, till its light just goes out. The surroundings get a little darker, as does the situation for the summoner. They are only a few yards from him, in every direction. The summoner is alone, being drowned in the moans of despair. Next time, Angry Eyes.